Very nice. Very nice. It's good to be with you. I didn't expect to be here today. Yesterday morning, I was just walking around with my wife. We've been trying to just restore an outside grill, a gas grill that she's loved for 20 years, I guess, and doesn't want to get rid of, and every little thing. And I'm trying to work on those parts and all that, and got a call from Keith, your Clinton Baptist Association DOM. And he said, Ron, he said, would you be available to preach tomorrow? And I've always been taught that a preacher should be ready to preach, pray, or die at any moment. And so I said yes. And of course, I know a little bit about Oak Ridge, being the pastor at Grace on 7171 Oak Ridge Highway for 28 years, and coming out here quite often. For a variety of different things. But I've never been to your church before. I've heard of it, but I have never been to it. But I love to preach, and in retirement, been retired now for about 8 years, I guess. But I've had a couple of interims and things like that, but don't get to preach like I normally do. So if I go an hour and a half, you'll probably understand. I just need to get it out of me, you know. But it won't be an hour and a half, I promise. I want to share with you a message that I believe every church needs to hear. I learned it. God revealed it to me a long time ago. And so my goal has always been to be able to grow a church. I told the people at Grace, I said they'd gone down in membership for a long time back in 1988, and when I came, and I said, if you don't want your church to grow, don't call me. Yeah, because my goal and what God has called me to do is to grow a church and grow that church in every aspect of the ministry of the community there in that church. And so I want to share a message with you that I have learned from God's word that says the requirements for an open door church. What are the requirements for an open door church? Now, what do you mean by an open door, Ron? Well, Revelation chapter 3 is where we get this message from, and it begins in the third chapter, and it's when Jesus is revealing to the Apostle Paul, or not the Apostle Paul, but John, in the book of Revelation, about the angels of the churches, the seven churches that are mentioned here in this passage. And it says in verse 3, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write. Here's what the angel says for John to write. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. Listen to these words. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds, talking to the people now at Philadelphia in that passage. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door. An open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. Remember that. I know that you have little strength. Yet you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet. The requirements for the Philadelphia church It's called the Open Door Church. Out of the seven churches that were there, it's the open door, the only one that the angel and John wrote down about being an open door church. I don't know why God gives one church an open door for ministry and people just want to swarm that church and come in and do all kinds of ministries and all that. And then he seems to close the door on other churches. I don't know why he does that, but I know that's the way God works. He'll open some doors for some churches, and he'll close some doors for other churches. No matter what the programs or music styles that the churches use, the open door church seems to grow. It just seems to be able to get people to come and walk through and find their way all the way through that. An open door church just seems to grow, while other churches are doing exactly the same thing, singing exactly the same kind of music, maybe even having the same kind of preaching, and they don't grow. An open door church like Philadelphia is a church that seems to be in a constant state of revival. It's a church that is involved in evangelism, and it has a missionary vision to share the gospel of Jesus with the whole world. We try to explain this kind of open door church by saying, well, it's all about strong leaders, and they just have a strong leader. They have a great pastor and music program and youth program and all those things, and they've got great leaders, strong leaders, so that's why that door has opened for them. Or maybe they're in a growing community where new houses are popping up all over and people are moving into a community like that. And so we want to say, well, if we had just people like that building houses and the community was growing around, we'd be growing too. But it has to be more than that. Strong leadership can assemble a crowd, but it can't build a strong church. A growing community can provide prospects, but it doesn't produce changed lives. An open door church is a phenomenon of the Holy Spirit of God. It is not talking about a preacher. It's not talking about a music program. It's not talking about a congregation. It's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And when you get into that level, it defies the explanation of the experts, because it is a work of God that takes place in that church. So in his divine wisdom, God chooses to open the door of ministry for some churches and to close the ministry of some churches into other doors. How many of you would say you've ever been a member of an open door church? All right, you know what I'm talking about then. I have been pastor of five churches, and Grace Baptist Church was absolutely a phenomenon. We called it the miracle of grace, because nobody else could explain what happened there. Nobody could along the way. You cannot pass through an open door, though, and remain where you are. You must let go where you are to go through an open door. If you're going to go outside that door today when the service is over, you've got to go through that door, and you've got to leave this place in order to get to that place on the other side of the door. So God told Abraham, I want you to let go of everything you've got. I want you to let go of everything you've ever known, and I want to take you to a place where you are going to be blessed, and you're going to be known, and you're going to become the father of all nations. Of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, Jesus told only one that he was going to open a door of ministry for them. The Philadelphia church is described as the church of the open door. I'd love to be around a church of the open door. because there are things happening there that nobody can explain. There are things happening there that everybody had maybe not even dreamed about along the way. So what did Jesus see in that church that he didn't see in other churches that he's talking about that allowed him to open a special door of ministry? What are the requirements to be an open door church? The first thing it says is it was a united church. It says make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit is what it takes. You see, a genuine church is the body of Christ. God brings all the people with the necessary gifts and the resources to be able to help that church go through that open door and minister in the way that it should. And almost every church has a kind of different slant on what their ministry should be. And that's the way that God works. If the church is not united, it cannot be an open door church. See, you cannot be a New Testament church if you're alienated from or angry with or unwilling to worship and serve with the rest of the body of Christ. If the church, which is the body of Christ, isn't united in one heart, one mind, one spirit, one baptism, and one faith, and one Lord, that church may have the name of Jesus on the sign, but they are not an open-door church of Jesus Christ. Well, does that mean that every member of the church is dedicated and active and serving and witnessing and giving and mature Christians? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Some are spiritual babies. They want their way all the time. It's about giving everything. They give everything, but they demand a lot. Also, Satan is active in every open-door church for obvious reasons. He sends in people he can use to disrupt the fellowship and break up the unity because he doesn't want any church to be an open-door church. Grace has been like most churches through the years. They have up times and they have down times. Doors are open for them and doors are closed for them. And I'm sure this church, as long as it's been here, has had the same kind of experience. And also, they're going through some upsides and downsides along the way. Without a pastor, it makes it difficult, but that's when God wants your leadership to come forth. You need to be the ones without the pastor here yet to be able to help keep the church strong and help keep the church in a position where God can open the doors for that along the way. So the devil is always looking for a way to divide an open door church. He's always looking for someone who will slam shut an open door. He's always looking for another Judas or another Jezebel or another false prophet that he can use to divide the church. The enemy's goal is to keep the church from going through that open door for ministry that God has given to them. And he does it by trying to break up the unity. You need to be united in your effort, united in your ministry, united in your prayers, to be able to be united to support your pastor, to be able to go through that door. If unity is required for this church to be an open door church, then you need to guard and you need to protect the unity at all costs. You need to make sure that you are supporting it. Make sure that you are not going to be divisive in any way along the way. So the first thing about a church is that would be the open door church is you must be a united church. The second thing that it says in this scripture about an open door church is it is a committed church. I know your deeds. The angel says, I know your deeds, and this is what you've done. You've done good things. You've been a part of a great ministry along the way. Jesus described the characteristics of the Philadelphia church when he said, I know your deeds. I know that you have a little strength, yet you have kept my word and not denied my name. He said they had a little strength. They've kept the word, and they didn't deny his name. Every church can meet those basic standards, right? Couldn't you all say that that's what you are? You're trying your best to use all the strength that you have, little or not. And you kept the word. You're keeping the word alive and singing and worshiping. And you never deny the name of Jesus. Every church can meet those standards. That means every church could be an open door church. First of all, it says an open-door church only needs a little strength. It doesn't take a church full of spiritual giants to be an open-door church. He said if you have faith just the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And so the Greek word for strength here is dunamis. What does that sound like? Dynamite. So he's saying everyone who has a little strength, it can be, but he isn't saying a church needs to be a dynamite church. It's not about having all the power the way that takes you and moves you through the open door. He says you only need a little strength to be an open door church because God's the one who opens it. You don't open it up. You just stand there at the door and God opens it. God does it. And God has the power to do all of that. An open door church doesn't have to be a large, high-powered, well-oiled machine with a beautiful sanctuary like you have and air conditioning, a big parking lot, large staff, and a growing community. You don't need all of that to go through an open door when God opens it. An open-door church is a phenomenon of the Holy Spirit of God, not the creation of a congregation. It defies the explanation of all the congregation. It defies the explanation of the experts because it's the work of God. The open-door church only needs a little strength because it's created by Christ. It's empowered by Christ. It's infilled by Christ. It's sustained by Christ and is the body of Christ. Yes, he will call and he will use men and women to serve in the church, but he wants the world to know that an open door church is a Christ-centered church. We can do all things, right? How? Through Christ who strengthens us. So all it takes is a little strength. And I can already see that there's a little strength here. There's a little strength because you're here going through this time without a pastor and without the kind of leadership from the right man here to be able to keep the church in an excited mode. But secondly, it says an open-door church keeps God's word. I mean, that's pretty simple for all of us along the way. As a Christian, you're not committed to a church. You're not committed to a denomination. You shouldn't be committed to a pastor or a program or a certain style of worship. You are committed to God's word. And you need to be willing to change whatever is required to go through an open door. My commitment throughout my ministry of 55 years was to be was to be inspired by the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. And you need to love it. You need to learn it. And then you need to live it. If you do that, you'll walk through any door God opens for you, and God will grow you up, and God will grow your church up. The secret to the abundant life is remaining committed to the Word of God. That's the evidence that you're going to be able to walk through another door, an open door. So the secret to a successful ministry is staying committed to God's Word. The secret to a success in your business is staying committed to God's Word. The secret to a successful marriage is staying committed to God's Word. That's for all of us as Christians. We must be committed in order to go through an open door and be what God wants us to be. When I went to Grace 37 years ago, I was committed to God's Word as a man, as a preacher, and as a pastor. I went there because I wanted to fulfill the calling He had placed upon me as a man, as a preacher, and as a pastor. I believe your next pastor may not say it in those words, but I believe he will have that same kind of commitment to live, to preach, and serve others according to God's Word. So an open-door church keeps God's Word. And then thirdly, it says, an open-door church never denies Jesus' name. Our secular culture wants us to accept the premise that all religions are the same. No matter what you put on the sign, everybody's the same, and therefore all those religions are equal. Tolerance is the politically correct word today. We just are encouraged to tolerate everybody else's beliefs along the way. Doesn't matter who you worship. Doesn't matter what you do, if you believe in God, or even if you believe in God. Be tolerant and accept everyone's lifestyle, accept their religion, accept their morals as equal to yours, and don't criticize, compromise. David Jeremiah is one of my favorite preachers. He said he was asked to pray one day at a public meeting where two candidates for Congress were attending. He said when he prayed, he did it in the name of Jesus, you know, in Jesus' name. A lady came up to him, he said, immediately after that, and she said, "I was offended by your prayer." He said, She said, I am Jewish, and I don't think it was appropriate for you to pray in the name of Jesus in a meeting like this that was public. Dr. Jeremiah is a kind and gentle man. That's not the way some of us would have responded, but this is what he responded. And he said in his reply, "I'm sorry you were offended. But Jesus has done so much for me in my life, and I love him so much, it is impossible for me to leave him out of anything in my life." She huffed and she puffed and she went back to her seat. Are you able to speak the name of Jesus wherever you go? Are you committed to making sure that you let everyone know that there is no other name given among men that can save us except the name of Jesus? Are you committed to that? An open-door church will not compromise or back away from the commitment to Jesus and Jesus alone. And then thirdly, little strength, you keep God's Word, you never deny Jesus' names, but then in this same passage, Jesus gives us a challenge. This church has a challenge. I love challenges, don't you? I grew up as an athlete, played college basketball, and all of my uncle was an All-American football player, and my whole family is just into athletics. And you know what it is in athletics? There's a goal. And my challenge is I'm going to make that goal. I'm going to jump higher, run faster, be stronger than anybody else along the way. You got to have a challenge in life. And God wants to give you as a Christian an open door, and he wants you as a church to go through that open door, and he offers you a challenge. I have placed before you an open door. You're not forced to go through that open door today. You're not commanded to go through that open door today. You're not going to be disciplined today if you don't go through that open door along the way. But you're challenged. I offer you a challenge. I want you to know that this church was built because some people had a vision. Somebody one day, somewhere along the line, I don't know how many years the church has been here. It's a great sanctuary for you and all that. But someday around Oak Ridge or in Anderson County, somebody was going around saying, you know, there's not a Baptist church out in Robertsville. I think we ought to have a Baptist church out in Robertsville. And so he had that thought, which must have come from God. So he goes and tells somebody else, who tells somebody else. And before long, they had a group of people, and guess what happened? God heard them, and this church is here because of them. You may not even know the names of those people. I certainly don't. But that's how God works along the way. He challenges people. There needs to be a church out in Robertsville that's willing to go through an open door, that's willing to be able to keep the word and teach the word and live the word and love the word along the way. You're not forced to do that, but that's your challenge. It was established to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. This church isn't built on a pastor's vision. It's built upon Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who is in charge of opening doors for this church. Our responsibility is to accept the challenge and go through and do the work of an open door. There are hundreds of churches in Anderson County and around East Tennessee, but there are only a handful that are going through the open door that the Lord has given them. Many have been given the challenge to an open door, but not very many have accepted that challenge. It costs a lot and been willing to go through that open door. Why is that? Well, they don't take the challenge because going through the open door means hard work, sacrifice, change, giving, and opposition. Too many pastors are more concerned about keeping their salary than keeping their commitment to Christ. What he, Jesus, opens, no one can shut. Satan can't shut that door, and neither can you or I, but he can discourage you. Satan can depress you. Satan can distract you so that you refuse to accept the challenge because you don't have enough time. My work takes too much, or I can't do that, or that's going to cost me more than I want to pay along the way. The only thing necessary for Satan to win is for Christian people like you to do nothing, give nothing, say nothing. That's how a church loses their open door. The door is open today. The way I'm trying to make as clear as I can for you. The victory is assured already by Jesus. If he opens the door and you're willing to accept the challenge and go through it, he's going to be there to take care of all your needs along the way. But too many churches aren't willing to accept the challenge and do the work and make the sacrifices and give the resources and go out into the highways and hedges and compel people to come to Jesus. It's not easy. Many refuse the open door challenge. But then the last thing I would share with you is it's a rewarded church. The open door church is a rewarded church. He says, hold on to, in verse 11, he'll hold on to what you have. Hold on to what you have today. Hold on to all the things and the blessings that God's already given you today. Just hold on to what you already have so that no one will take your crown. What's a crown? Who needs a crown? Well, first of all, you need to know you're going to have opposition. I always went into a new ministry saying, anticipate opposition. I knew it was going to come, and I knew that I had to explain it well, and I knew I had to be willing to do it myself, to be a leader and have it done along the way. So hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The Greek word again here is Stephanos. You know, it all began, the Olympics began in Greece, Athens, Greece, many years ago. And when the winner would come, they didn't get a gold medal like we give them today, who are the winners. It was an olive branch. And they made a wreath, and they put it on his head. And that's all that he got from that. It says that no one can take away your crown, your Stephanos, your reward. He's teaching us that an open door church is going to be a blessed church. It's going to be filled with blessed families. It's going to be filled with blessed marriages. It's going to be filled with children that are blessed. But he's warning us that we can lose his blessing also. Hold on to what you have. Hold on to what you have. You know what happens to a blessed church, one that is an open door? You know how you can tell that? Look at them around. First of all, people are being saved in that church. And the attendance is growing. And then marriages are being healed. Marriages are coming back together and not divorcing along the way. They're doing it God's way. They're not doing it their way along the way. So marriages are being healed. And what I've realized through the years, and I've witnessed it over and over again, prodigals start coming home. Prodigals start coming home. I can't tell you how many times our church is right, 7171 Oak Ridge Highway at Grace, and how many times somebody would come. I get a call from the secretary or the receptionist, and she'd say, Pastor, this person just came in here, and they said they have to talk to a pastor. And I invited them in, and they'd say, I don't know what it was, Pastor, but I was just driving by this church, and something told me I need to come in and talk to someone. And time after time, we'd be able to lead someone to Christ in that way. And it happened over and over. Nothing that we had done, Nothing that we even knew about this person. But there will be people driving up and down your highway every day for the years to come. And they're looking at this church. And if you become a church of the open door, there will be people who will stop by here. And they'll say, I don't know why, but I just felt like I had to come and talk to someone about that. But the enemy is always around. And so he gives us a warning that we could lose his blessing. You see, sometimes God closes doors on the church. And the enemy is always around it, trying to get to that point. He's already told us that no one can shut a door that God has opened. So how can another person take away or miss out on the reward that we're talking about here, his Stephanos? Well, when a person or a church refuses to accept just a challenge and go through the open door God has placed in front of them, he will simply give that open door, listen to me, he will give that open door to another church in that community. His work is going to be done. Whether you and I do it or not, whether your church or my church would do it or not. And if we refuse to go through, if you refuse to go through your open door, the reward that was intended for your church will be given to another church that is willing to accept the challenge and go through that open door. Who wants it the most? When they toss up the basketball on the court, I want you to know I wanted it more than anybody else. And I did everything and anything. The coach would say, Ron, you're getting tired. Nope, I got to get that ball. Got to get that ball. I've got to go after it. I love challenges. And when I became a pastor, God put that challenge to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I got tired of seeing families just divorce for no real reason. And I got tired of seeing people because they couldn't turn away from a bottle of beer. I got tired of seeing people who just didn't seem to care about how their divorce was going to affect the children. And I said, that's a challenge. I want to talk to that dad. I want to tell him what his kids are going to be like. Because I never had a dad in my life much. I had what I call a shadow dad. He and I never had a conversation until he was 69 years old and on his deathbed. The first serious conversation I ever had with my dad. He had finally come to the Lord when he was about 60 years old. We had that one serious conversation. He asked me a question. And I'll tell you later about the question. There are many churches that once were open door churches, but they were growing and reaching people with the gospel. They were on fire for the Lord. They were united, committed to God's word, had accepted the challenge from God, and that's why they experienced the blessing of God. I'm sure this church has been filled many times through the years. And that would have been an example of the time where God was filling this place up to be able to reach the people in this community. But somewhere along the way, something happened. They lost their way, and they started taking the blessings of God for granted, perhaps. And they thought it was always going to be this way. People were always going to be filling up these pews, and people were always going to be in that parking lot and always being volunteering for ministry, but they took their eyes from what made them an open-door church. Maybe they started fighting each other instead of fighting the enemy. They lost their commitment to God's word, maybe, and maybe even to the Great Commission. But whatever, they lost their open door blessing. No one can shut a door that God opens, and no one steals our crown. But God will take it away from us and give it to someone else. If we fail to fulfill the requirements he demands of an open door church. And there are many examples of that, of how God does that in the Bible. Cain's reward was given to his brother Seth. Esau's reward was lost to his brother Jacob. Reuben lost his to Judah. Saul lost his to King David. Judas lost his to Matthias. The Jews lost their reward to the Gentiles. And many churches have lost their open door crowns to other churches that were really ready and willing to accept the challenge to be an open door church. What's the reward for going through an open door? Says he rewards us. He's going to give us a reward. What is that reward? Well, if you do a good job on in your company, and the boss comes up to you, and he may say, as I had my boss say a few times before I was in the ministry, he'd say, "Well, Ron, you've done such a great job. I want you to take tomorrow off." I'd say, "All right, that's a good thing." You know, or some of them, you worked so hard this last month, I want to give you an extra week's vacation. And that's the way it works in the world's way. But God says, you've gone through an open door. You have loved my name. You've not denied my name. You have prayed, and you have won people through Christ. And you have worked so hard, I'm going to give you another open door. I'm going to give you another job. I'm going to let you work harder. I'm going to let you have more challenges to be able to keep you busy doing what you need to be doing along the way. So you've done such a good job, I'm going to reward you for it with more work. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? We're servants. When you go through the open door, you have to be a servant. The Bible says it this way, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. The reward for going through an open door is another open door. It's that way. When I was at Grace, went there, we had 250 people. And we started, and I looked out, and I said, what ministry does this community need? And I saw a lot of working mothers with the young children. And I said, let's just start a Mother's Day Out. So we started a Mother's Day Out with a handful of mothers dropping their kids off and then coming back to get them, you know, after they got out of work. And it was blessed, and we had kids and we had mothers coming in and new members coming. They'd say, well, what's this church like? And they would see it. And so I said, well, why don't we just have a daycare ministry too? Take care of some little kids. Real, it's the babies. And so we opened another door, and we went through that door, and we did a daycare program. And then I found out that there were a lot of working mothers who didn't get off till 5 o'clock, but their kids got out of school about 3:30. I said, well, let's start an after school. We bought two or three vans, and we started picking up kids from all the schools around that we could find. and we'd bring them back until the hour or 2 hours. They'd stay there in our facility safe with qualified teachers so that their mothers could get back in time to be able to pick them up. And then after a while, I said, you know, there are a lot of problems in our public schools now. And I started thinking, why don't we have a Christian school? You know, I don't like what's being taught sometimes in that place, so why don't we start our own school? And I was driving down the road before I ever thought that, and on Oak Ridge Highway, came up where I saw the church campus on the side of the road, and I heard a voice. Now, it wasn't a real voice, but I don't know where it came from, but it says, you need to build a Christian school. I know I didn't hear it with my ears, but I heard it with my heart. And my response was, by myself, driving down from lunch, I said, yes, we do. I went in, I told one of my staff members, I said, find out what it would take for us to open up a Christian school. And he came back and he said, virtually nothing. You just have to make sure your facilities are up to fire standards. We started a school. We had 55 students and I had 5 teachers. Today, we have 1,600 students at Grace Christian Academy. Your reward for going through an open door is another open door. And we started with just a little Mother's Day out, kind of daycare programs like that. We started with that, and God said, you have been faithful with a little. I'm going to let you go a little step further. And we went a step further, and then we found that God opened another door for us, and another door, and another door, and another door. And by the time we finished up, we had a lot going on in that ministry. Doors of ministry are all opening all around the church today. If you're united and stay that way, if you're committed to God's word and stay that way, if you accept the new challenge coming your way and stay that way, you and your church will receive blessings you have never seen before. God will be glorified, and he will write on you a new name. He'll write on you a new name. And I finish with this. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church of the open door in this community. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed this church in so many ways through the years. And Lord, I know that you're ready and you're willing and you want to bless them again. So I pray for the church. I pray for the members that are here that are going to provide leadership in this interim period. And so I ask, Lord, that you will guide them, you will direct them, you will give them the courage to accept the challenge to be able to move in the right direction along the way, to be able to find the right pastor that will be able to help lead them through this time and to find and discover the open doors of ministry in the years to come. Lord, bless each of us as we share together today in this invitation. If there's one here that has never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they'll come and they'll make that commitment that can transform their lives and set them straight in front of an open door that will bless their lives for generations to come. Bless us, Lord, as we continue to worship you in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, let's stand as we walk.